You've probably heard plenty of stories about people with AIDS who felt shut out by their families. But the opposite is sometimes true. Many parents have become even closer to their children after they were diagnosed with AIDS. Some of those parents have even become AIDS activists. Tonight, PBS premieres a new documentary called Mother's March about five mothers who became activists after losing children to AIDS. The producer is my guest, Glenn Halston. He told me how he got the idea for this documentary.
My initial proposal was about parents who've lost their children to AIDS. And it was a very quiet program, about very mournful. And I imagined, you know, syrupy music, and I don't know where I was headed with that. But then when I first started to meet women, and it was only women who I met who were activists who had lost their children, I began to think that here is a program that's alive, and it suddenly clicked for me.
You know, it's interesting. So many of the stories that you hear are the opposite of the stories that you show in your movie. You so often hear stories about parents who are so embarrassed or ashamed of their child who has AIDS, and they won't confide in friends. They don't want the people in the neighborhood to know. And this is kind of the opposite. This is where parents are so moved to action by watching their child die that they're transformed by it.
I think that's true. I do think that some of the women in the program had that initial reaction. The initial reaction, Marty Gillen talks about wanting to close up her house, you know, on the main line and seal herself up and let no one know. But then I think the energies and the anger and the sadness and the grief just become so fertile in their body. Just they have to find some channel to have those energies transferred. And so they start looking for ways. Each woman found her own way of, it's a very organic process, found her own niche, a way of expressing her anger and grief. So they have been transformed. I mean, Beverly Rodder says that she would never want to go back to what it was. But she says that her daughter taught her. When her daughter became sick, she moved home, Iris de la Cruz. And it was during that reunion of mother-child that Beverly was exposed to different parts of the world. And that, I think when her daughter moved home, that was the beginning of her activism in that case.
One of the mothers who you filmed works at a hotline.
Yeah.
And there's an 800 number of people from all over the country call. What was that experience like, being there and hearing these calls coming in, hearing how she handled them?
Well, the hotline, Mothers on the Hotline, originated because the PWAC, the People with AIDS Coalition in New York, is the organization. And they had a hotline, an 800 hotline, and they found themselves getting a lot of calls from women who were going through experience, like the mothers in the program. And so they assigned up some mothers to answer the phone, and that was a long day. It was a remarkable day. We had been taping for a couple of hours, and there had been many calls from different parts of the country, practical things. My son has the night sweats. When Barbara then can say, Barbara Skinner is the mother who answered the phone that day. You know, she said, she reaches back from her experience and says, oh, you know, cotton sheets are the very practical things. If your son has night sweats, change the clothes off and don't let him sit in a sweaty thing. But then by the end of the day, right before we were going to pack up, she received this one call from a woman who had found out that afternoon that her son was diagnosed with AIDS. And apparently the son had come home and was seeking comfort in her arms. And it was very emotional. It was very moving. And filming that was, it was one of those moments where everything else went away. And you could only focus on her words. And I was visually focusing just on her lips at the receiving end of the phone, you know, and to hear how steadily she handled the call and how she, all the calls, she really steers them, maneuvers them, and she makes a decision whether or not to share, whether or not her son has passed away, depending on the person calling and what their needs are, because she doesn't want to scare the person. She's a realist. You know, she speaks very frankly, and it was an inspiring time to be with her.
Hi, I'm back.
Where are you calling from?
How you doing? Yeah. You have a long way to go here. This is your first day, you know. You feel like you're all dying, and you're not. Well, think about it this way. What if he needed you and you died? There's that, too. I know how you feel. I felt like that when I heard about my son. I thought, why am I here to be with this? I don't want to be. I don't want to be here and watch this happen to my son. But then you start, your mind will start to change and you'll suddenly be very careful crossing the street because you'll want to be around so you can help. Hold on, don't go away.
I think an interesting thing about your program is that a lot of viewers probably would feel very distanced from the people who had died of AIDS. I mean, one of the people who died of AIDS got it through intravenous drugs. And that's going to alienate a lot of people. You know, there's gay people who died of AIDS, who you talk about on the program. That would alienate a lot of people. When you look at the mothers, these are mothers who a lot of mothers watching television would feel, that's me.
Yeah.
That's my friend. That's my neighbor. That's me. I'm not sure what my question is, but...
But it does bring up the biggest lesson that I learned throughout this production was from each of the mothers. When I first did pre-interviewing and I would meet and I went and met these women, mm-hmm. on the top of my list of questions was, how did your child get AIDS?
Mm-hmm.
And through the interview process and getting to know these women, I realized that that's not the most important question at all. That's the least important question. The most important question now is, what are we going to do about it? And how are we going to stop this, you know, the spread of the disease and increase education? I mean, that's what I learned from these women, is that it's not important. And they didn't make any judgments whatsoever. And all the lifestyles of the children are very different from the lifestyles of the parents. But there weren't judgments made. There was this unconditional love and support for the child.
My guest is Glenn Holston. His documentary, Mother's March, airs tonight on many public television stations. We'll talk more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Back with Glenn Holston, his documentary, Mother's March, is about mothers who have become AIDS activists after losing children to AIDS. What else surprised you about the mothers?
What I appreciate and what surprised me is the fact that their complete honesty and their complete willingness to expose themselves and their families to a public television audience. And that's something I take very seriously, is when I bring in a camera into somebody's home, the fact that they understand the repercussions of that, where who's going to receive the message and who's going to hear and how that's going to affect their lives. And so that's why the pre-production part where I meet with people and explain to them the project, I find so important.
Mm-hmm.
Even I had asked Beverly Rotter to look for pictures of her daughter as a young girl, and she hadn't done that since her daughter had died. So this documentary caused her to go through that sort of opening up again.
Mm-hmm.
And that I found terribly inspiring, too. There was a willingness, because the will to educate and make change is stronger than their emotion, their grieving. Somehow that the loss is fueling this energy, this fire within each one of them. And another thing that I realized was that each woman, you know, there's a... Beverly is an activist who marches and stands in front of the White House, mobilizes women to stand in front of the White House with pictures. Demetra Patoukas is a woman who has a quiet activism, which I think is just as important as the woman who can mobilize, you know, armies. And that was something that I learned, that an activist doesn't have to be, this person out in the forefront. The quiet activism is almost as strong. When we were shooting at Demetra's house, the day of our interview, she got a call from a friend whose child had died from AIDS and didn't want the world to know that it was AIDS. It was terribly poetic, because here's I was interviewing Demetra's husband as she got this call, and she was consoling and trying to not tell this woman what to do, but by her own personal experience, by her own personal demonstration of her willingness to be open about her relationship with her son and how he died, she was demonstrating to this other woman that, you know, it's not, you don't have to keep it quiet.
If you've lost friends to AIDS, have you maintained any kind of relationship with their parents? I mean, have you gotten to know the parents of friends in a different way as the friend was sick and everybody was kind of coming together to help?
No, not in my personal experience, I haven't.
Is it because the parents haven't been around at the same time as the friends, or?
Probably because of the friends and parents have lived
far apart. And in the mothers in your program, they all live close to?
Or they moved home.
Or their children moved home.
Which I think is a remarkable thing for a parent to live through, to raise someone, see them leave home, then have them come back home and die. That to me is a journey of mythic proportions, an emotional upheaval that I cannot even imagine. But that was one of the things that attracted me so much to the program.
For the child, too. I think that's an incredible journey. And a really ambiguous one in some senses.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think sometimes people would prefer to live where they established their new homes and their new communities, but they can't.
Yeah. One of the most... Mrs. Patukas' son would say, you know, it's terrible. You have to wash me like this. I can't get off the couch. And she says, you know, he returned to the state that he came into the world in. And... that again is terribly moving to me, that there was this, and she said, I'm a mother, I don't mind, that's what a mother does. And that struck me as very strong and very sort of, you know, the sweeping human saga right here in the living room. The whole life and death comes back to the living room.
Well, Glenn, thanks a lot for talking with
us. Thank you.
Glenn Holston, his documentary Mother's March will be shown tonight on many public television stations.